This is the chapel service for January 4th, 1962. Dr. Weatherspoon is leading the service.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let us bow in prayer together. In thy presence, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving, remembering that thou art our Creator, our Redeemer, and our ever-present companion and guide. We would confess our sins, the sin of forgetting who thou art and what thou hast done and what thou hast purposed for us. We pray thy forgiveness that we have remained so imperfect and so weak in the midst of life, when thou art our God, and in thee are all the resources for all our needs. We pray thy forgiveness for the laxity of our own self-disciplines and for the openness that has characterized us, for the invasion of the spirit of our world. Forgive us and help us to take fresh hold on faith today. Help us to have deepening desire to be a part of thy great force for human redemption. Help us to love thy kingdom, which is truth and righteousness and love and joy and peace, that in the midst of the conflicts of our world we may stand with our feet on solid ground and with our whole persons panoplied with the armor of God. Hear our prayer for all the individual needs that we present to thee today, personal, family needs, church needs, community needs here in the seminary. Bless us this day out of the abundance of thy grace. For Jesus' sake, amen. I want to read a brief passage from the book of Jeremiah, the 45th chapter. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he wrote these words in a book at the dictation of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That has reference, as you will readily recall, to the time when Jeremiah dictated the prophecies and the story of the first 20-odd years of his ministry. And you know full well what happened with that writing. Now, at that time, this word came to Jeremiah for Baruch. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch. You said, woe is me, for I, for the Lord, has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning, and I find no rest. Thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built, I am breaking down. And what I have planted, I am plucking up. That is the whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. For behold, I am bringing evil upon all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give you your life as a prize of war in all places to which you may go. There come times in every life when, if there is no strong undergirding, we very easily feel sorry for ourselves. Suddenly things pile in on us, like the rush of that strong front wall smothering the quarterback before he can get the ball away. The world seems too much for us, and we become very sorry for ourselves. That happened to this man, Baruch. Soon after he joined the prophet, it fell to him to write down, at his dictation, the prophecies and the story of Jeremiah. When he had finished, surely the heart of Baruch was twisted by having lived through the terrible things that were said about Judah and its corruption, its rebellion against God, the threats made by the prophet and the judgments that he pronounced against the beloved nation. And the story of what happened to Jeremiah through all those years, rejection, despising, imprisonment, loneliness, a sense of the failure of all that he was saying, all of this came in on Baruch. And he was full of pain and sorrow, as he might well have done been as he looked upon that sad and tragic story. But the signal came for one more play. Write again the story, said the Lord. And they set out and wrote down all that had been written and more besides, we're told. And then the play, Baruch, you go and read this in the presence of the king. And he went with high hopes that when the king came face to face with this truth from God through his prophet, that he would repent and reverse his policies and lead the nation back to God. But the experience was that even as the book was read, it was slashed to pieces and burned in the fire. That was too much. And this young man of high hopes and high principles went back to the prophet crying, "Woe is me, woe is me, for the Lord has added pain to my misery, and I find no rest." The prophet listened. He too had traveled that way. He had known failure and despising and danger and threat. And more than once he had felt very sorry for himself, even making his protest to God as if God had done him some wrong. But now the prophet stood on his two feet. He had come through, and he had something from God to say to this man who felt so sorry for himself. I need not say that what happened to Baruch has happened to many of us. And perhaps for all of us that day will come, if we can read anything in the signs of our times, when if we try something great for God, we too shall be trampled down and shall know what failure is. And when these things happen to us, then so easy it is that our concern shall become centered in ourselves. What will happen to me? Now, in that instance, the prophet of God has something to say in the name of God. For one thing, he said to Baruch and to us, yes, God is involved in our experience, but not as Baruch thought. For Baruch said, "The Lord has added pain to my sorrow. God has done this to me." Jeremiah said quite another thing. R.H. Charles remarks that is perhaps the boldest thing that is said in all the Old Testament. Others said much like it, but here it is. He said, Baruch, yes, think of God, but think of God with a realism that will have quite another effect on your own thinking. God is in the picture. And he said, God too is pressed to doing something that he had not planned to do. For says God, What I have built, I am breaking down. What I have built, I'm breaking down. And what I have planted, I'm plucking up. Something has happened to God's plan, too. And instead of thinking so much about ourselves and what is happening to us, let us think about what is happening to God. And what God is, shall we say, forced to do because of man's rebellion and man's corruption. Let the center of concern be somewhere else. In God and God's purpose and God's plan and God's deeds, rather than in one's poor little self. You heard the prayer of the little girl during the last war. One night she said, "Lord, do take care of yourself. For if anything happens to you, we're all sunk." That's another way of looking at life. Instead of letting ourselves become the center of our concern, our concern and our great concern is God, and God is in it. In our world today, with its turmoil and its holocaust of hate, with its constant threat of war, with its forgetting of God for things merely human and material, there is God. And where am I, as between God and the world? Where are my interests? Where are my concerns for myself or for the eternal Redeemer? And God does not stop. God is not beaten. God starts over again. God takes another way to rebuild and replant and to go on with his eternal purpose. And then the prophet went a little further. He said to Barak, "Your aspirations are all to the good. It is good to seek to win a wicked king back. It's good to dream of the glory of God in Israel as it was before. It's all good that you've given yourself to this holy work. But are you seeking great things for yourself? Seek them not." And when he touched that hidden inner motive, that depth of reality, he touched all of us. Have you been thinking only of the glory of God and the blessing of Israel? Or have you been thinking of your place, of something that was coming to you as it has come to one of your kinsmen who is in the government? Have you been seeing yourself in the triumph? Have you been thinking of the position that you would occupy and the honor that would come to you? And when the prophet suggests that this young man has had his aspirations corrupted by personal ambition, he was speaking to us. For how easy it is to see not the victory of God, but our own. Not the honor given to Jesus Christ, but the honor given to ourselves. And that's why We are so concerned about what happens to us in a world like ours. The aspiration is good, but the self-centeredness of concern and the dream of personal progress and triumph, that is the evil that brings on this self-pity. And then the prophet said one more thing. Just remember this, Baruch. You have your life. God spared that. It has been like a sort of prey that was saved, rescued out of what has been going on, and here you are with a life that God has given you. And with that he closed. There will be evil wrought in the world because of sin, but you have a life. God given for a purpose. I think it is significant that the 45th chapter of Jeremiah came at the end of the book, in the old Greek translation, about 200 years or so before Christ. And Baruch was the instrument, he was the writer of the prophetic story. And he put this little incident all out of its historical location at the end of his book. That was his way of signing his name. That was his way of saying that this incident was the turning point in my life. That's his way of saying that then I was converted. And he had written not only what had been written before, but what came after in the years. And he went on as a faithful servant of God until the curtain fell on Judah. He found that he had a life, and that whatever happened to it, its only use was for God. Let us pray. Grant us the understanding of who we are and what we are alive for, and our relation to thee and to the world in which we live. Help us to forget ourselves in our devotion to thy kingdom. In the name of Christ, amen.